Agenda item number six, Mr. Tommy Garner.
Commissioner Bull, commission members, Mike Johnson of our staff would normally be handling this case today, but good news is that his wife had a baby, second child, 2 days ago, so he is out for a few days, as you can well imagine. So with that, I will attempt to give you a briefing on this project, an overview of what's proposed, to go through the plan details. I'm sure I might leave out something that Mike would have included, but I know the applicant is here, and I suspect maybe the opposition as well, and so maybe they can fill in the blanks that I may leave. With that, let me go ahead and close this. Oh, okay. Okay. 1423, okay. Now you know why I have staff do this and not me. I don't get enough practice at this. So with that, what we have today is a request by Mr. Garner, who is requesting authorization to install a 5-foot wide open pile private pier extending 220 feet channeled of mean low water with a 6-foot wide L head and two associated mooring pilings along Deep Creek, extending from existing water access easement at 632 Snug Harbor Lane in the city of Newport News. In this case, the project is protested by the owner of the property that the easement goes over, as well as the adjacent property owner. So from that perspective, it makes the project a little bit unique for a private pier, but it's not unusual for us at the staff level to deal with applicants who have easements to build private piers. They're not always protested and they don't always end up in front of you, but it's here today because of the protest. This is a map of Newport News showing the general location of the project. You see here in the Deep Creek area of Newport News, the James River obviously is to the south west. This is the map or a photo of the project area. You can see that the Garner's property is not directly on the water. They're located at 630 Snug Harbor Lane, and the easement runs through 632 Snug Harbor Lane. And what we have done here is just the general depiction of where the easement exists, and the red is just the general depiction of where the pier is proposed to be located. Both the Edwards, who own the property here, and the Josephs, who own the property on this side, are objecting to the project. Again, this is a project where Mr. Garner has an easement to build the pier at the end of the right-of-way that's authorized here. And what you see here is just language from the easement document that provides for the construction of a non-commercial pier within the easement extending into the creek. The pier is not to exceed 6 feet in length, and a boat of 25 feet, I think it says, can tie up at the end of the pier. I would note that when we first started processing this application, we received objections from the Edwards, who felt that this easement language was included in the original deeds with properties before it transferred to the next successive owners, and that it didn't provide Mr. Garner with the right to build a pier at this easement. And they were concerned about what area of riparian rights might be provided for the construction of the pier at the end of the easement. We withheld any action at that time and asked that Mr. Garner show that legally he could build a pier there, and so this went to court to determine that, yep, the easement language did provide for the construction of a pier, and in fact, in your packet under item 3 is the Newport News Circuit Court order February 20th, 2015 of this year, just basically saying that Mr. Garner has the right to build a pier at this easement based on the deed language, and that that pier would be located in that 6-foot area extending out from the easement and provide for the mooring of a 25-foot vessel. So with that information, we felt it was appropriate now to bring it to the commission for a decision on constructing the pier in light of the protest. These are the project drawings. This shows the general extent of the pier into Deep Creek. This is the general representation of the easement along the property from Mr. Garner's lot, which is located at the bottom of the photo. A little more detail of the pier itself. It'll be 5 foot wide. Once it gets to the end, it'll be widened to 6 feet. And you see there's two mooring pilings that facilitate the mooring of that vessel that's authorized by the, or described in the easement. These were just a cross-section of showing, you know, the pier extending offshore. It will go out a distance of 220 feet from mean low water. Some ground shots looking from the shoreline where the pier will start, looking into Deep Creek. This is looking a bit to the right towards the Edwards property and their pier. This is turning around and looking back in the other direction towards the Joseph's shoreline, and they are the adjacent property owner on the left as you look at the water. This is a shot just looking back through the properties along the general orientation of the easement through the land to get to the water. And this is looking out from the property along the easement area out into Deep Creek. Again, the pier would be located in this general area here, as I understand. This slide just gives you an overview of the property locations. Again, you have Mr. Garner's lot here with the easement running towards the water in this location. General location, we put this in here. This is just a representation of where the pier would be that's applied for. This is the existing Edwards Pier. The Josephs have applied for and received a no permit requirement letter from us for their proposed pier, which they had indicated they wished to construct in this general location. That has not been built, as I understand it. That is just proposed, but would not require a permit from the agency because they are the riparian owners. In this case, Mr. Garner, he's not the riparian owner. He just has the easement that authorizes the pier, so we have to issue a permit. It does not qualify for the statutory authorization like it would for the Josephs. There. So, bottom line is, as a result of the court decision that authorized the construction of the pier at the end of the easement within the boundaries of the easement extending out into the into Deep Creek, staff is recommending approval of the project as it's proposed. And since it is a private pier, we are not recommending any royalties in this case for the construction of the pier itself. With that, I'll try to answer any questions that you might have. But as I said, I know Mr. Garner is here and his agent, and I would assume possibly the protestants.
Thank you, Mr. Watkinson. Questions of staff? Mr. Speaker.
Notice in the order. They had two attorneys involved, one attorney Latcham from Williams Mullins, and on the other side was Mr. Kelly from Jones Bleckman. The order, as I see it, was entered on February 20, 2015. Do you know whether either the losing side appealed?
My understanding is they had indicated they planned to appeal, but I'm not sure if that has actually been done. My staff was told that they would likely appeal that decision, but I do not know if it's occurred or not.
Mr. Erskine.
Tony, the proposed Joseph Pier that no permit needed, is that it's not constructed, is my understanding, but is that the orientation that was indicated to staff that where it would appear?
That's the general orientation. In fact, it is close to the property line, but it was within what we thought was a reasonable expectation of where they had a right to build that pier. So the unfortunate thing is when you have these easements and they're 6 foot wide and they provide an access for a pier between two lots and they want piers, it gets close. It's the nature of the situation.
Thank you.
Ms. Haney.
So 220 feet, is that just, that is to reach the depth required?
That's the depth they wanted to go to. There was some concern about whether it was too far out or not. But what I'll do is I'm going to try to go back to one of the more original slides and just show you. Well, let me get that far enough. Here we go. It's longer than the Edwards Pier, and I think it's longer than the ones the Josephs propose. But as you see, the end of that pier is not much further, any further out than some other structures along that section of the waterway, so we did not think it was too far out as a result.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Watkinson. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please come forward, sir. I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Thomas A. Garner.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. What would you like to tell the commission about this?
Thank you for allowing me to speak first. Good morning to you guys. This has been a long battle of purchasing a piece of property, and in the deed it had all this language that you could construct a pier, and it was one of the reasons that I bought the property. Along with this, I have two neighbors at 628 and 626. Which are also part of the subdivision of this piece of property, also have the same language in their deed, so I'm not alone. This is not something that was thought of, I just want a pier. It was created back the 40s or 50s prior to either one of the individuals that are opposing this ownership of their property. The property next door to me, which is the Edwards property, it's in their deed also as far as the easement. So this is not something I created. It was there when I bought the property. I feel like that I followed all the guidelines and with DMRC as far as moving forward and at a great expense and a lot of headaches. And hopefully you guys will see it in that way that you'll grant the pier. And if I would like to respond if there's any at the end, any opposed.
I'll give you a chance to do a rebuttal if this necessary here. Any questions from the commission, Mr. Gardner?
Let me just ask
you. Yes, sir.
Mr. Zedrin.
Do you know if this decision of the court has been appealed?
I know that the decision of the court has been recorded of the original finding. You have the same information I do as far as if they noted they may appeal. But at this point, from legal advice, it has been recorded and it is a legal document because it has been recorded.
Okay, thank you.
And that from what I understand from legal representation, I have the right to move forward.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Thank you very much. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Thomas Timberlake. I own lot 628, which is adjacent to Mr. Gardner's property, and there's another property. It's three lots that are on Snug Harbor Lane that have this access. I bought this property back in 1998 just for this right to build a pier, to have a pier, to one day when I do retire, to be able to fish, use the water as recreation. And I am in for Mr. Gardner having this right to build this pier. And I thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Timberlake. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Please come forward. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Rick Jones, and I'm speaking for Ellen Edwards, the property owner at 632 Snug Harbor Lane. I have some handouts. Can I give this to you?
Sure, I'll just pass them along.
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak of this issue today. Our problem seems like such a small little problem compared to the vast and large issues you guys are going to deal with.
It's important to you. It's important to us.
Thank you. I would like to thank the VRMC staff for their help during this process, specifically Mike Jordan. I was very impressed with the openness of the process, how open Mr. Johnson was, and that everyone was given notice and was able to voice their opinions on this issue. I was particularly impressed how the staff was able to summarize a very complicated issue as was previously shown to you. But there are a couple of clarifications that I think need to be made. In the evaluation that they gave you under narrative, I'm not exactly sure if you have this evaluation. In the middle of the paragraph, it says, this deed language goes on to detail the right to construct a pier to allow water access for the easement. And I know you guys are not, this is not about the legal issues, but I think it's very important that you understand that it's a little bit more complicated than what was addressed. The furtherance, as it goes on to, it goes on to establish an exclusive right for the original owners, the properties of the parties of the first part to the original contract to construct the pier. Okay, that's pretty important. It doesn't go on and say you can also construct the pier. It reserves that right for the exclusive right of the original owners, and that's what we went to court over. And then further down into under issues, it says Mr. Cope, and Mr. Cope wasn't the attorney, it was Mr. Bert Kelly, questioned whether the right of access was passed to subsequent owners. There was never any question as whether the right to access to the mean low water was ever in question, because that particular wordage was continued in all the deeds from 1959 to the present time. There was never a question of access, but at the time since 1959, the right to build a pier is never included in any of the deeds. And so, again, that is why we went to court over this issue. And then further on into your recommendation, under summary and recommendations on the end of the first paragraph, it says that the pier does not extend past the established line of navigation as evidenced by the existing piers in the area and therefore permissible. I think that if you look at this, one thing to realize is that this is a 100-foot pier, and his is going to be 220 feet. Okay, so it's going to be much longer than what the red line shows. Okay, and secondly, the other pier that the Joneses are going to build is going to be right next to it, and it's going to be way back here at 110 feet, I think, or 120 feet is their pier. So what you have is the navigational line, if you choose to use the two piers that are already there, is way back here, hugging at 100 feet here and 120 feet or feet from this area. Really, there's a little cove in here. One of the requests we were going to have is that you limit it to a different length of pier. But I think that it's important for you to have a little bit more insight in this issue. Suppose one of your neighbors came to you and said, I want to build a garage in your backyard. Would you allow that to happen? I don't think so. And that's what happened to Mrs. Edwards. Mr. Gardner came to her after she had lived at the property for 25 years and said, I want to build a pier off your yard. She She said no. She asked him, would you like to have somebody come into your backyard? He lives across the street,
right up here, Mr. Gardner's home, right up here, and he has a big pier complex up here. And would you like for him or somebody, your neighbor, to come in and say, I want to build a pier on your property?
And that's what happened. And after she said no, her life hasn't been the same. It's been a very messy affair. Mr. Gardner is a very successful businessman with significant resources at his disposal, and Mrs. Edwards is a widow working as an administrative assistant in office. Having to go to court to keep somebody from building something on your property just doesn't seem right. Mr. Gardner bought a distressed property, the one we're talking about, 630 Snug Harbor Lane, that had a mortgage on it for $600,000, and he paid $262,000 for the distressed property. He told us he was going to save the neighborhood so that he could determine who was going to live next to us or across the street from him. The pier will naturally increase the value of his property. And she's not, Mrs. Edwards isn't against anybody making some money, but to the extent that a 250-foot pier in the middle of a beautiful view with people walking to and from the pier will diminish and decrease the value of her property, his property value increases and hers decreases to that extent. This is bigger than just not wanting him to build a pier. Mrs. Edwards and her in-laws have lived there for 25 years. Her in-laws bought the property, and it was a broken-down home, but they saw potential. They increased the size of the home. They spent their money, efforts, and time and energy to improve the home. And until they're and it has one of the most beautiful unobstructed views across Deep Creek Harbor, through the mouth of the Deep Creek, out across the Warwick River, seeing Fort Eustis on the tip, and then all the way across the James River. It's a beautiful view, unobstructed for 25 years. And then somebody comes up one day and says, hey, I want to build a pier in your yard. Since 1959, none of the deeds that were subsequent to the ones to the original two parties ever included any right to build a pier. They all include the right to have access to the mean load water, but none of them included the right to build a pier. And so that right was, according to the deed, exclusively allowed for the parties of the first part in 1959. Mrs. Edwards is willing to go to whatever lengths are necessary to maintain the property as is. And the right for Mr. Gardner to build a pier is still in question. According to a letter from the VMRC on March 15, 2013, the application was suspended. We talked about that earlier until it was a court order was issued by the Newport News Circuit Court just last month in favor of Mr. Gardner. But Mrs. Edwards has appealed to the Virginia Supreme Court in challenging the rulings by the judge in this part. And in actuality, from what Mr. Zeidman said, this is probably something that should be continued until it is goes through the continue to the court process, and I'm sure the county will probably be able to speak to that. But if you decide that you need to go through and give Mr. Gardner the right to build a pier or approve his application, there are a few things that Mrs. Edwards asked. She asked that you limit the length of the pier to 110 feet, which would put the heads of all three of the piers in and about the same place so that nobody have to go out and around one of the other piers. There's at least a 3-foot mean low water tied at 110 feet. Her pier is at 100 feet, and she has 3 foot 2 inches, 3 foot 4 inches at a mean low water tide. 110 feet would put his at the same location. I measured the water at mean low tide, and that's what it would be, which is significant for a 25-foot boat, which is the limitation placed in the deed. Mr. Gardner, the other request is that you consider not allowing the installation of the mooring poles. She objects to the mooring poles. because it is an additional intrusion to our riparian rights. There are dozens of boats on Deep Creek Harbor that do not have mooring poles. We have 25 to 30 boats at the mouth of the harbor, the work boats, that are not moored to any mooring poles. They are moored to one another and moored to the wharf. It's a no-wake zone throughout the whole harbor. There are no wakes, and people abide by that all the time. The point where the pier, it's important to consider the point where the pier is designed to attach to the shore is the point where the drainage ditch, I don't know if you noticed that, there was a drainage ditch was right in the 6-foot easement. It's been there for, you know, probably 40 or 50 years. It's not something that somebody put in there just to make it difficult for Mr. Garner to be able to use his right-of-way. And since buying the house, Mr. Garner has put in probably 100 yards of fill is what I think I remember him telling me in his backyard, which has created drainage problems for both the Josephs and my and Mrs. Edwards, clogging the drainage ditch that where the mouth of his would go or where his pier is going to be attached. That's an issue that he has said he was going to resolve, and that was 2 years ago, and the issue have yet to be resolved. The language of the original agreement, the contract between the original two parties in 1959, was very, very descriptive in how the pier could be used, limiting the length of the boat, limiting what could be used, the pier could be used for, and those sort of things. They were concerned about how the pier was going to be put in and how it was going to be used. And so we request that the shorter length of the pier would be indicative of piers and things that would have been used in 1959 when the original deeds were published. I'd like to speak to the issue that Mr. Timberlake, next-door neighbor to Mr. Garner's property, came and said that he had language in his deed also. And he does. He has language in deed for a deed of access to the Mean Low Water Tide. Never in any part of his deed is there any indication of or mention of being able the right to build a pier, as there's not in Mr. Garner's deed either, or the deed before his. Mr. Garner came to Mrs. Edwards in the beginning when he decided he wanted to build a pier and told him that the people up the street from him, Mr. Timberlake and Mr. Davis, the other two people, think that they have access to build a pier on your property. But he said, I know they don't, and if you let me build a pier, I will.
Mr. Jones, let me cut you off there. We're going to stick to the application that's in front of us, not something that has something to do maybe with somebody else somewhere else.
Okay. He said that he had rights to build a pier, and he pointed to, and that was what he told us. Anyway, I thank you for your time, and I'm sorry I took up so much, but I thought that it was very important for you to understand how impactful this is.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any questions from the commission?
I gave you the
notice of appeal.
And it's been reported.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to this project? Please come forward, sir. Sir, are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Okay, you kind of look like one. I need to swear you in. And I don't mean to be insulting to the attorneys in the crowd. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes,
thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, I'm Vincent Joseph. I'm the adjacent property owner. Thank you, Commissioner Bull and the rest of you for indulging us on this. My pier has been approved on the adjacent property. The reason we want to build it over here is because the depth of the water, we have to take the pier out farther if we do it on the other side of our property. So we talked with our builder and said to do, it's normal 25 feet from the adjacent property, so our pier is going to be 25 feet away from this the property line. Our concern is that the proposed pier that we're talking about is going to be about 6 inches from our property line. And it's also going to be a second pier on this property. And our concern is of the clutter that's there. We had planned to build this pier 17 years ago when Dr. Edwards owned the property. Dr. Edwards had approached us and asked us not to build the pier, that we could use his. Things have changed, property owners have changed, and that's why we're moving forward with our pier. Our concern is that the language says that they're allowed one boat up to 25 feet. And what you have right now is Mr. Garner's property has a renter and a possibility of having two renters, duplex. And you have two other properties that are going to have access to this pier. You have a possibility of four boats on that pier, and we do not like that. We think that, first of all, the language only allows them one boat. Our concern is that that's going to be infringing upon our rights. It's going to have navigational issues that we're going to have, and we don't want to be in a position to have to enforce that. Mr. Garner was in a partnership with another property that built this pier, as you can see, on the other side of our property, and that has a renter, and we have already sent a letter. I'm not going to go over that anymore, but they have not been very good stewards, and we think that's going to be repeated with this proposed pier. So we're against this pier. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Joseph.
Thank you for your time.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this budget? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Terry Joseph, and I'm married to Vincent Joseph, and we live at 607 Bircher Road, and we are building a pier this summer, as he stated. The main point I want to make is that I am pro-individual property rights. I wouldn't be doing this if it weren't infringing on my rights, but when the two butt heads like that, my rights, I want mine to take precedence. And I am very concerned about the space. We're not talking about yards or feet. We're talking inches and the activity level that will be there, as well as the long I believe that this will have a profound and lasting negative impact on our house and on the neighborhood. I don't think it will be beneficial. It will be too crowded. The other thing is that this is being built in a drainage area, and it's just a mess. And we've been working on it for years. So this is not going to help it. As was pointed out earlier, this is not Reno, it's not Tahoe, it's not huge. Compared to the other things you've been listening to, it's tiny. To us, actually, that increases the importance of it. Because it's just our small property. I do not want this right here next to us in our yard. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions from the commission? Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this project? Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Please state your name for the record.
My name's Bob Livengood, and I'm the contractor and the agent for both applicants, so I'm the lucky guy in the middle. And I just wanted to clear up a couple of things with this. I'm not either for or against the projects. That's not my call. That's the court's call and you guys' call. But the location of the Joseph's Pier in question, they chose the location of the pier. I filled the application out, submitted the application. They chose to be 25 feet off their property line. They have much more frontage than that. That was their call. I've checked the water on both of these locations. The bottom is relatively flat. 25 feet to the right, 25 feet to the left. The water depth, it's not making any difference. So I just wanted to clarify that, that statement wasn't exactly accurate by the conversation that I had. That was all.
Thank you, Mr. Levengood. Any questions from the commission? Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to this project who has not spoken? Have you already spoken? Yes, you have, ma'am.
I can come back?
No. Is there anyone else who has not already testified in this case who wishes to testify? All right. Mr. Gardner here, you get a few minutes to rebut here. Please make it short.
Yes, sir. First off, purchasing this property, little description of Snug Harbor Lane, it's like a piece of paradise, like being in the island. We all have the benefit of living there. When the property across the street came available, yes, I did react to protect our interests in the neighborhood, and I was the greatest guy in the neighborhood to save everybody else who's going to be the neighbor. I live across the street. I have a nice home. I've made a major investment on the waterfront. I keep the waterfront clean, presentable, just like I would anything I own. This property, in the future, my plan is to downsize. Number one, I'm getting older. Number two, my kids are gone. Number three, my house that I'm in is way too large. About this pier. The reason for this pier is because the deed says that I can have the pier. The court has determined I can have the pier. It has been recorded. Some of the things, and I'm just going to touch on them real fast, and I'm going to move on. As far as the length of the pier, I'm going by recommendations of a professional, which is Mr. Livengood. Not my decision. I don't build piers. The ownership, when Mr. Smith said Ms. Edwards had owned the property for 25 years, that is not true. They've owned it for about 4 years. I like the same view that they like, so I would love to have the pier. The depth of the water, I'm not a professional as far as measuring the depth of the water. We all can stand out there, push it in the mud, and get as much as we want. Mr. Livengood is. As far as the drainage issue, that shouldn't have anything to do with the pier. The Joseph's property, if you look on plat, it's in front of you, submitted it. It was filled at some point. It used to all be wetlands. That's the reason we're having the issues of what's beside what. The pier, he presented it to you. And I was also like a copy of what was presented by Mr. Jones. And I hope that you see it my way.
That's the whole thing. You can have my copy here.
And that's all I have to say. Thank
all right. Any other questions from the commission? The public hearing is now closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Sussman, I have a question, and I don't know if it's a legal question or a policy question. It appears staff feels comfortable that the court has made a decision that the easement allows the applicant to build the pier out. I'm hearing the pier out. I hear there may be an appeal, or there is an appeal, and I'm not sure which. Are we on sound footing to move ahead and make a decision with the court making a decision with an appeal maybe out there at this point, or do we typically wait for an appeal, or how does that work?
Mr. Hull.
I can say legally we're fine with going ahead today because we're not deciding whether they have a right to build a pier or not. We're just saying whether they should be able to use the state-owned bottom land for this purpose. Policy-wise, I don't know if the commission would want to wait until it's resolved or not finally, but legally it's not required.
Thank you.
Mr. Sutra.
The way I understand it, we were given this March 19th letter from Mr. Meadows and with the notice of appeal. This is on appeal to the Supreme Court. There's no question about that. There's no stay that I see. A lot of times when we appeal cases, the attorney will go in there and say that execution as ordered by the circuit court is stayed. I don't see that. Only thing I'm concerned about is that, it sounds like from what I've heard here, this is a legal issue. It's a legal issue of whether who has the right to do what. If we go ahead and approve the applicant's application, he builds a pier, and the Supreme Court comes back and says, the circuit court's wrong, and he's got to go tear the pier down. Of course, that's his problem, not ours. So my opinion is here is that this is a legal matter. There's no urgency about building that pier. I mean, he doesn't even live there, okay? And so it would be my motion to allow the court to determine the legal issues and not put them in conflict with our decision, and then remove this from the docket and have the applicant put it back on the docket after the Supreme Court has decided the legal issues involved. That would be my motion to continue.
Well, let me say a couple things to that regard here from my perspective here is that we now do have a court decision. And this has gone through the court here.
Not really. Once it's appealed, that decision does not stand.
Well, we have a court decision here that, as the courts have determined at the moment here, subject to an appeal here, it goes, it's authorized for appeal. If we delay until there is a final court resolution on all appeals, I'm not sure we're being fair to applicants. I mean, that would be a precedent-setting issue for the commission, and people would have an impetus to drag out appeals for as long as possible. I'm not saying that's the case in this case. I'm just saying that from a fairness perspective, I have concerns about delaying this until there is a final court ruling on any matter. I don't know how anybody else feels.
Well, the Supreme Court has guidelines and timelines. It's not like in circuit court where it goes in there and asks for continuance. That don't happen like that in the Supreme Court. So and counsel will tell you, you know, the people, the fishermen, the watermen that appeal their decisions, those matters, and there's a couple have been going on, and they're right now, actually last month, argued before the Supreme Court on those things. So it's not a situation where it's going to go years and years and years. It's a matter of months, and you know, and counsel can tell you because he's involved in it.
Mr. Hall, can you add to this?
I will say that the cases that we took up were before the Court of Appeals, actually not the Supreme Court, but you are correct that there is a strict timeline in any appellate court for briefing and arguing. But I will, again, just say that, you know, if we're not deciding whether anybody has a right to build a pier here, we're just saying whether they have, we're issuing a permit for the use of the bottom land. And so if it turns out they don't have the right to build the pier in the court, then, you know, if they've already started construction, then it'll be a consequence of the court decision, not our permitting decision.
Mr. Erskine.
I seem to see that we have a circuit court decision that's pretty clear. It's absolute and unfettered riparian right to use this area at the owner's expense, private non-commercial pier or wharf. So I think the circuit court, in my opinion, was pretty clear. I guess the uniqueness of this happens to be with this easement, and we don't see that all that frequently in something like this. And I agree that, you know, there's certainly an appeal, I guess, that's been filed. I would feel more comfortable, even though it would delay things slightly, to have this matter final or more final than it seems, instead of having, you know, allowing the applicant to move forward and then having to go to the expense of potentially tearing it out. It just seems like we would want that. So I agree with Mr. Zedron.
That seems very irregular here.
I guess I have a question to the commission members. Assuming the Supreme Court upholds the circuit court decision, would we approve this permit? You know, so that's the hypothetical. If the Supreme Court approves this, now. And if the Supreme Court does side with a certain court, we get to hear this all over again. And so I guess we've already heard the arguments. Do we really want to spend time on this again? If the Supreme Court overturns a circuit court, then the permit is null and void anyway. So I guess my question is if we go ahead and approve the permit as been in the court decision now, I'm not sure what we've lost or what we damage we've done, other than save ourselves hearing this thing again. I guess my question is, if you've already made up your mind that you would approve this permit if the Supreme Court upholds the circuit court's decision, if we go ahead and approve it, it's done. We don't hear it again. And if the Supreme Court overturns it, well, then it's overturned anyway, and we still don't hear it again. Question.
Mr. Sutton.
So if it's overturned and the applicant, let me back up. We approve the application. He builds his pier, and it's overturned. That's what happens. It's his problem, and he has to pull it up and remove it. So even if we give him the permit, it would behoove him to do nothing until this appeals process is done, and that's his decision. I just see it as a time saver. If you know what you would decide, assuming the circuit court decision stands. And if you don't know, well, then postponing it just makes sense. So it's a question. I don't have the answer for you.
I'm going to agree with the commissioner that I don't think it's fair holding up an applicant for appeals and possible appeals of appeals. And worst case, if I'm the applicant and I build it and I lose on the Supreme level, I've got to pull it up. So I think I'm going along with your thinking.
That sounds
stupid.
No.
Mr. Erskine.
And I can agree with the suggestions that have been made. I think the property owner and the applicant have the ability to wharf out where his existing property is, and this doesn't seem to be extremely urgent. And I just defer to having all the information, I guess, before moving forward. I don't mind hearing it again. I don't think we get as much discussion and argument back and forth. I mean, it's protested, so there are some considerations to take into account outside of just yes or no, but I wouldn't mind having all the information. I don't want to arbitrarily say, no to the applicant, and I don't unduly want to cause any harm, but I'd rather have all the information.
Mr. Zedra.
The follow-up here, I appreciate the comments. But here again, this is an applicant who doesn't live on the property. It's an investment property. There's no harm, and the Supreme Court is relatively, I'm not going to say quick, but they do have the timelines. Everybody's got to file their briefs on a certain day. The Supreme Court sets up oral arguments if, in fact, the parties want that. The matter's heard. It moves forward. And this matter, I understand, is appealed to the Supreme Court, so that takes out of the Court of Appeals level. And so I just don't see the urgency. And as far as, whether it consumes our time, I sit here as a volunteer, and I think it's important. We went through these $500,000 projects. No problem with them, big deals, and we approved them because there was no opposition. We got a lot of opposition here, and what may come out of this thing, I mean, they're all hearing what we're talking about, is they may say, look, we don't know where they're going to go, and the same thing with the appeal, okay? They don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do. I don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do, and it may get these guys to talk to each other and say, well, wait a minute, I'd agree with you, but I don't want the pier out there 200 whatever feet. Why don't you bring it into 125, 135, and the contractor or whatever was talking about the water level's about the same because it's pretty flat bottom, and it may give them an opportunity to come to some resolution of the court case and this matter, and if it goes unopposed, we're not going to hear about it.
Well, commission operates on motion.
I move that we continue remove it from the docket and continue it to such time as when the applicant gets a decision from the Supreme Court if he desires to put it back on the docket.
Motion by Mr. Zedra.
Second.
Second by Mr. Erskine. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any noes?
No.
Two Antunes, Ms. Haney, and Mr. Sessoms here. The chair votes aye as well, so the motion passes 5-2.